We are going to be in Titus chapter 2 today, so go ahead and turn to Titus chapter 2. We're going to spend our whole day there, so you don't even have to worry about finding another place. Titus chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 and then verse 3 through 5. It is in your notes, but it's nice to see it in the Bible too. And so we're going to read it from our Bibles, and I'm going to mention a few things as we read it, and then we'll go to our notes. So this is a Mother's Day message. We're continuing the sermon series, Hard Things Made Simple, and the title of the message is Righteous Womanhood. Well, righteous living is hard all by itself, and men have their hard things, and women have their hard things, and so today we're just going to look at a passage of Scripture that will help point our ladies in the direction of righteous womanhood. So let's read Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. It says, "You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the ways they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." And so what I want you to notice while we're looking at our Bibles, this is a letter that Paul has written to Titus. Titus is the pastor of a church, and Paul is giving instructions to Titus. And so, the beginning of chapter 2, it says, "You, however, unlike what was discussed in chapter 1, false teachers, people doing it wrong, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine." So, Paul is telling Titus, teach sound doctrine. Okay, that's the theme of this chapter, teach sound doctrine. And then verse 2 says, "Teach the older men to be temperate," and it goes on from there. And so we can read this like this: teach sound doctrine, for example. Or teach sound doctrine, and in doing so, be sure and mention these things. Teach sound doctrine, and to this group, remind them of this, and to that group, remind them of this. And so he's going to bring out things that were maybe an issue, maybe something that was a general struggle for that group of people. And so we're going to then pick it up now in verse 3. We'll discuss what it says to the men on Father's Day. In verse 3, it says, "Likewise, teach the older women." And likewise, because in verse 2 it said, "Teach the older men." So likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. And verse 4 says, "Then they can urge." So the older women, this is both older in age and older spiritually, because in the perfect world, that's both. In the perfect world, an older person by age is an older person spiritually as well. Now, we know that's not always how it works, but we need to consider both. So the older in age as well as the older in their spiritual maturity, it says, urge them to teach the younger women. That's discipleship. When one group teaches another group, that's discipleship. So the older women should be teaching the younger women what they have learned. Okay? And then it goes on for a list of things they need to teach the older women. And it's not like the older women now get to forget about this list. It's that they get to teach it because they've earned the right to teach it. So the beginning talks about how they earned that right. Now let's go to our notes. Okay? So we have the same scripture. I've highlighted some things in the notes I want to talk about. It says, "Likewise, teach older women to be reverent." So reverent is the first word we're going to look at. What does it mean to be reverent? Okay, well, the New Living Translation says it like this. It says, to live in a way that honors God. Okay, that's what goes in your notes. Live in a way that honors God. And the CEV version says, to behave as those who love the Lord, to behave as those who love the Lord should. Now, that takes me back to the days when my kids were home. And they would head off to practice, or head off to school, or head off to Awana's, or head off to wherever they were going. And a lot of times I would say, act like you belong to somebody. What I'm saying is act like you belong to the Martin family. And I'll tell the youth group, when they'd be turned loose somewhere, act like you belong to somebody. Act like you belong to the church. Act like you belong to God. Act like it matters how you behave, because how you behave reflects on those behind you. And so when it says that the older women are to be reverent, you could say that. Act like you belong to somebody. Act like you reflect somebody. To live in a way that honors God. Okay, so application there. I'm just going to do right straight down our notes. Application, what does it mean to be reverent, to honor God? Application, your life still matters. Your life still matters. You make a difference. People are watching. You are an inspiration. You are an influencer. There's a word for today, influencer. Okay, you are an influencer. No matter how old you are, and I know that at a certain age we start to feel, whether you're men or women, we start to feel like, well, maybe I don't have as much to offer as I used to. Maybe I'm not as vital as I used to be. Maybe nobody cares what I think anymore. Well, I think what's being said here is live a reverent life because it does matter. You are going to influence. You'll influence how people talk. You'll influence the choices they make, the morals that they live by, the pursuits that they pursue, that they go after. Okay, so you earn the right to urge somebody. Number two in your notes, it says not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. And we'll just fill in those couple blanks there. Don't act like old people. Don't act like old people. And don't get offended yet. It's not time. Don't act like old people. Or don't act like stereotypical old people. Okay? Don't take it easy, the superficial path. Don't take the superficial path. And, you know, there's that stereotype of a bunch of old ladies sitting together around a table or at the barber shop, and they're reading their magazines or they're drinking their coffee or doing whatever, and they're just talking about people, talking about their relatives, talking about their neighbors, talking about whoever just left or whoever's about to come. You know, we call it gossip, right? You have that image. It's not true in a lot of cases, but it is true in some cases. And this was something that they dealt with culturally. It's something they dealt with in the Jewish culture, in the first century culture. It wasn't that unusual. And so it says, don't be slanderers or addicted to much wine. Don't sit around with your whatever drink is of your choice and talk about people. Don't take the easy way out. Now, this doesn't even have to be wine containing a lot of alcohol. The point is what you're doing and how you're doing it. So if you're in that older group, which, by the way, I'm going to eventually say, so I'll just say it now, you're all in the older group. If there is someone younger than you in your life, you're in the older group. You should be influencing the next generation. You should be influencing your younger siblings. You should be influencing those who are younger in their faith. So to the older women, don't be slanderers, addicted to much wine. Don't just do what everyone else is doing. Don't check out of life. Don't be complacent. Don't just sit around the house. Don't just decide that you have nothing to offer. Don't take the easy way that requires no work and no effort. Okay? So what's the application? Don't fall into the trap of being non-productive character assassins. Don't fall into the trap. What should you do? And I'm actually going to say you should get together with each other. You should get together with friends and family. You should sit down with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a soda pop or whatever. You should sit down together. You should have conversations. What should those conversations be? Well, they should be encouraging one another. Like, I know you can do this. I know it's hard. You can do this. Let me help you. They should be helpful conversations, encouraging conversations, prayerful conversations, conversations that lead to a solution or an answer. Getting around and talking is great. Fellowship is great. Friendship is great. These are all necessary. But what you do when you get there makes the difference between being a stereotypical old person and a character assassin and being someone who's productive and who's serving God. When you sit down with someone and you're listening for what you can pray for, and then you go home and pray for them, that's being productive. When you sit down with someone and you listen to their concerns and you can offer a word of encouragement, that's being productive. When you can offer wisdom because you've also gone through it, or you've watched someone else go through it, or you've read a book about it, you can offer wisdom, that's productive. You want to be productive. You want to be writing letters, sending emails, making phone calls, spending that extra time that you have in prayer, doing things that make a difference, doing things that honor God, doing things that are living in a way as the believer should live, back to reverence. So that's something we don't want to be. Instead, number three, we want to teach what is good. So instead of the slandering and all that stuff, we're going to teach what is good. So we're going to share our wisdom. Okay, that's the first blank. Share your wisdom. Point people to God. You know, sometimes the older person in the group may have the strongest voice of evangelism. Use your time, words, and energy for God's glory. Use your time, words, and energy for God's glory. The application, invest in others. Disciple others. Pray for others. Specifically, invest in younger women. So that's the first half. Teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not like everybody else, being slanderers and gossips and being addicted to much wine, but teach them what is good. Okay, and the good that they're teaching is made possible because of the reverence. It's kind of it's a ball rolling down a hill. The more reverent you are, the more you can teach. The better life you live, the more you can teach, the more difference you can make in someone else's life. Okay? And so then we get to the younger women. And again, this is not where the older woman stops thinking. This is just where they start teaching. Here's some things you should teach. Love their husbands and children. Now, you may be here today, and you may not have any husband or children. Maybe that's in your future. Maybe it was in your past. But you can still teach on these things, and you can understand these things. Love their husbands and children. And what I want you to get here, and this was said in the video that we started with, and it was actually repeated by Jacob. The role of mom is a sacred calling. It is actually a spiritual role. And that's what goes in your notes. Fulfill your spiritual role in the family. Loving your husband and your children is your spiritual role. No one has more influence over their children than their mother does. No one does. Nobody. And don't ever give that up or minimize that. So in your role in the family as wife and mom, fulfill that role and then properly prioritize them in your life. Properly prioritize your husband and your children, knowing that you are making a difference. You are fulfilling a role given to you by God. You are to be honored in this role, and it is vitally important. So application, make sure your family is cared for in a way that amplifies God. There's a key for you. In a way that amplifies God. Okay, to them before you pursue outside activities. Now, outside activities are not wrong. They're not even bad. Sometimes outside activities are necessary. But outside activities come after the God-given roles and responsibilities that you have in the home. So older women teach younger women to love their husbands and children. Reflect God to them through your life. He goes on to say, number five, be self-controlled and pure. And self-controlled implies making good decisions, pursuing the right things, having the right motivations. So in your notes, just write the word wise down there. Making wise choices. Being self-controlled and pure means making wise choices, being sensible and kind. Okay, the action is being self-controlled. The result is pure. Be self-controlled and pure. Be thinking ahead. Be thinking about how you sound. Be thinking about what's right and what's wrong. Be wise. Make wise choices. The application. Keep a close eye on your motivation, behaviors, and habits with the goal of being righteous and holy in God's eyes. This is how you best fulfill the God-given role of being a wife and a mother, is by keeping a close eye on your motivation, behaviors, and habits with the goal of becoming righteous and holy in God's eyes. If you're righteous and holy in God's eyes, you will be fulfilling those roles, and you will be making wise decisions. Number six says, be busy at home. And busy at home, you know, I don't know if that translates great today, but it means be productive, be responsible, be dependable. But it's an attitude. It's not like how many things did you get done, how long was your to-do list. It's not a matter of checking things off the box, like I was productive today, I was busy today. It's really not being lazy. So it's being productive, being responsible, being dependable, and with no laziness. Laziness is the I don't want to do it, I don't have to do it, someone else will do it if I don't. I don't care if it gets done, it really doesn't matter. Tomorrow's just as good as today. Today I'm just gonna self-indulge. I'm gonna wallow in my own pity party. I'm gonna do whatever I'm gonna do. That's the lazy attitude where it's all about me. What do I deserve today? What do I want today? What can I get away with today? So when it says busy at home, it means be productive. Have a plan. Put that to-do list together. A reasonable to-do list. Be responsible to follow through on the commitments you made to your children, to your husband, to other groups you're parts of. The application here, kind of the thing you want to realize is that too much free time will lead to greater temptation. Too much free time will lead to greater temptation. And the older women who are teaching this know this very well because their kids are not at home. Their husband requires less care and attention than he used to. And they have extra free time. And they know that that brings temptation. And so they stay busy, and they're going to teach the younger ones to stay busy. Stay busy at home. Expand your horizons a little bit if necessary. Number seven is just the word kind. And that means to practice loving your neighbor as yourself. Okay, practice loving your neighbor as yourself. There's no application because that is the application. Practice loving your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is anyone around you, anyone that God brings into your perimeter. Practice loving those around you. That would include your husband and your children. It would include your in-laws. It would include other relatives. It would include your actual neighbors. It would include people you interact with at school or at a job or something like that. Be kind. Practice loving your neighbors yourself. Number eight, be subject to their husbands. And here we are, now we're in the weeds. Be subject to your husbands. That you know, we say that and people cringe because they don't know what we're talking about. What does that mean? So I wanna give you this phrase. Allow their husbands to lead. To be subject to your husband is to allow your husband to lead. That's really what it means. To allow your husband to lead. Lead spiritually, lead financially, lead socially. A biblical word for that might be let them be the head of the home. Let them be the head of the home. And this is really important. And the older women have learned this, and they're going to teach the younger women, life is better when the husband is the head of the home, when the husband leads. So here's application. Make suggestions rather than demands. You can parse that out. You can figure out what I'm talking about. I'm not going to demand this happen or it be done my way or that you listen to the end and then I'm not going to make demands. I'm going to make suggestions. Have you considered this? Here's an idea. Before we move forward, maybe we could talk about this. Make suggestions rather than demands. Create opportunities rather than manipulate circumstances. Okay? Let's just something simple. It would be great if we had a family prayer time. It'd be great if we had a family prayer time because that would help you lead the family spiritually. That would allow the kids to see you pray. That would allow the kids to see you read your Bible. That would allow the kids to do this. It would take a lot of pressure off me as the wife. It would be great if we had a family prayer time. So how can I create an opportunity rather than manipulate? Well, manipulating would be to gather everyone in the room at a certain time, not telling dad what's happening, having a Bible in front of him with note cards and saying, do this now. That would be manipulating, right? Creating an opportunity would be to say, hey, you know what? I think we can all be ready by 7:15 in the morning. The bus comes at 7:45. Well, we all leave for work at 7:45. I think at 7:15 we could have breakfast either on the table or done, and then we could create 15 minutes where we could sit together and read the Bible or pray or watch some Christian video on the YouTube or whatever. We could set something up where we could do this, and that'd be really cool. What do you think? Creating an opportunity versus manipulating circumstances. Really, in the end, the same thing is accomplished if they work. One allows the husband to be the head of the family, to lead spiritually, financially, and socially. So you can fill in the examples. The last one is pray for their leadership. If I'm gonna allow my husband to lead, I need to pray for his leadership. And that's not an insult. The best leader should want you to pray for his leadership. The worst leader needs it more than anything. Right? Pray for their leadership, and then pray for your submission. Pray for your willingness and ability to let them lead, to come under. Even when you can do it better, even when you have better ideas, to come under their authority and under their leadership whenever possible. So, back to the passage. Older women, anyone who's more mature, get together with the younger women. Don't get together to gossip or slander or drink wine or anything else. While you're together, urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God, because it's going to honor God, because it's going to make people see God in your family. It's going to make people see God in your life. A couple of bonus passages. I didn't really know how long this would take today with the various things we're doing. Just going to throw these out for you. I'm going to let you out early today. That's my gift to you. 1 Peter 3:1-2 says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. If you're married to someone who's not saved, everything we just studied is how you witness to them. That's how you witness to them. You cause them to ask you questions. Why are you different? What has changed? You're happier. You have more peace. You're so much easier to get along with. What's going on? What made the difference? It's the behavior of the wife, and it works both ways for the husband too. It's the behavior of the spouse, their change in their life, that causes the other one to come to faith. 1 Timothy 2:8-10, therefore I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, adorning themselves, not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. This passage is in a context of worship. It's talking about the worship service. And to adorn means to prepare. Think of a float that's going to go down a parade. You adorn the float to go down the parade and be seen, right? You adorn your house with decorations around Christmas time. You adorn the Christmas tree. And so when it says adorning themselves, it says don't get caught up in how you dress or your jewelry or your hairstyles. Okay, instead, adorn yourself with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. That takes us right back to the passage we studied. Women prepare for worship who will be seen as beautiful by all those around them are those who are practicing what we just read in Titus. They're adorning themselves with good deeds. And so we see here from several angles that what God's looking for is righteousness, faithfulness, purity, prayer, applying yourself, being a part of the church. God's looking for women to be women who point others towards God. It's not really a new conversation that we're having. We are ambassadors. We are light. We are salt. Godly women point people, all people, to God. And godly women who have learned through their life have an opportunity to teach younger women. And here's the goal, so that those younger women can surpass them in their holiness. They can surpass them in their holiness. I told my kids along the line, I didn't say it as probably as often as I should have, but it was always a goal of mine that my kids would surpass me spiritually. They would know the Bible better than me. They'd be able to worship better than me. They'd follow better than me. Their lives would be better than mine. And it's not because I gave up or anything, but I know there's potential. And I want them to reach the greatest potential. Well, this is kind of the message here. As moms, as women of the church, as the ladies of the church, you guys make a difference. You have a great opportunity. And it doesn't matter how old you are, the influence is still there. And frankly, it doesn't matter how young you are either. The influence is still there. So let's use this influence we have to further God's kingdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time this morning. It's always weird for me being a guy up here talking about women like I know. But you know. So I can talk about what you wrote down. And I can talk about what you say. And we can apply that to the women. And so much of it also applies to the men. But Lord, on a day that we esteem our moms and we lift up women and we proclaim them to be honorable and worthy of our respect and our admiration, Lord, may on this day also the women among us rise up to be the beacons that you've created them to be, of showing the rest of us how to live and how to follow and how to have faith and to be the ambassador in the light. Father, help us all to follow their examples. Be with us today. Give us a wonderful day celebrating. Let us serve you well this week. In your son's name I pray. Amen.